we present The Long Goodbye by Raymond Chandler, dramatized in 3 episodes by Bill Morrison, with Ed Bishop as Philip Marlowe. Episode 2, California, 1953. The bar of the Ritz-Beverly Hotel.
Excuse me, Mr. Marlowe, I'm Howard Spencer. Will you join me in a drink, or is it too early?
Too early.
Now, Mr. Marlowe, do you read?
Well, if it's part of the job, I can tackle a book.
I can't stop. I get manuscripts shoved at me all the time. Free this morning, unsolicited. People I met at a party last night. Problems of being a publisher. One of our most important authors lives around here. Maybe you've read his stuff. Roger Wade? I see your point. You don't care for historical romances, huh? But they sell brutally.
I looked at one of his books once. I thought it was tripe. Is that the wrong thing for me to say?
No. Many might agree with you. But the point is, at the moment, he's an automatic bestseller.
Is he your problem?
My problem is Roger Wade. He's due to deliver his new book, but he's losing his grip. Wild fits of drinking and temper disappears for days on end. Why, not long ago, he threw his wife down the stairs and put her into the hospital with 5 broken ribs. He simply goes nuts when he drinks. They live in Encino. Now, something is worrying him to death. I don't know what, and I don't want to know. I want him to finish his book.
I'm not a male nurse.
Well, his wife has to be protected.
I have to be there all the time.
But I want to save a very able writer. And the only salvation for a writer is to write. But he won't even let me see him or talk to him this trip.
Well, I can go see him, talk to his wife. But my guess is he'll throw me out of the house.
No, Mr. Marlowe, I don't think he would do that.
Marlowe, this is Eileen Wade.
Oh, please, don't get up. I know I owe you an apology for sitting over there, but it seemed important to me to have a chance to observe you. I think my husband might like you, Mr. Marlowe.
Mrs. Wade, I'm sorry. I don't think I could do any good, and it might do a lot of harm to try.
Oh, don't decide too soon, please. You can't judge people by what they do. If you judge them at all, it must be by what they are. If you should change your mind, you can reach me at this number. Thank you for being here. Goodbye, Mr. Marlowe.
Goodbye, Eileen.
Bye.
You ought to have looked at her once in a while, Spencer. A dream like that doesn't sit at the next table without you even noticing.
Stupid of me, wasn't it?
Yeah. And you should think up another story. I don't believe anybody, drunk or sober, would throw that gorgeous down the stairs and break her ribs.
You think I'm a liar?
What's the difference what I think?
I don't care for your tone. Look, if you don't like the idea, Marlowe, you can just forget the whole thing.
There are blondes and blondes, but she was singular. She came to my door the next morning. The last time anybody sat there drinking coffee with me was just before I went to jail. I guess you know about that, Mrs. Wade.
I read about it, yes. You were suspected of having helped him escape, weren't you?
They didn't say. Neither did I. But I don't suppose you're interested in that.
Of course I'm interested. A neighbor of ours knew the Lennoxes. He was badly wounded in the war, wasn't he? I suppose that might explain why he did what he did. Has Howard Spencer told you my husband wouldn't see him?
Yes.
I had to tell him a lie. My husband has been missing for 3 days, Mr. Marlowe. I came here to ask you to find him and bring him home.
Has it happened before?
Quite a few times.
But when was the last time?
Oh, 3 weeks ago. Roger was brought home late at night by a man in a cowboy suit, such as you might see on the stage. Roger said he'd been at a sanatorium taking a cure.
There's always a doctor in the background. Oh, it takes 3 days to sober up. Why won't the Lone Ranger bring him back again? What's different?
I've been married to Roger for 5 years. He was always a drinker, but now I want him found.
Any idea why he drinks?
I don't know. Unless it's me. Men do fall out of love with their wives.
Does he always get violent when he's drunk? With women? Did he throw you down the stairs?
Oh, please. Too much has been made of that. This might help. It's a note I found at his desk. Typed. He types perfectly, even when he's very drunk.
I do not like you, Dr. V, but right now you're the man for me.
I love my husband, Mr. Marlowe. I don't want to be the means of hurting him. Whatever he's done.
A well-heeled patient with incipient DTs could be money from home for half the clacks of eight counties. So I went to see a friend of mine in the Karn organization, a big flossy detective agency that specialized in protection for the carriage trade. George let me see their file on the barred window boys. There were three Dr. V's. I checked them all. The last was a Dr. Verringer, who had a ranch in Sepulveda Canyon. It was closed with a for sale sign, and I was warned off by a bimbo who saw himself as the last cowboy hero. I went back after sundown and twisted his rope and found Wade in the cabin. He was pretty weak, but he was sober. He was willing to come home with me. So we paid off the quack and left. Candy, Wade's Mexican houseboy, put him to bed. By then, I was feeling mad. She stood very close to me, thanking me. Mrs. Wade, did you know Sylvia Lennox? Is that why you wanted to hire me?
I didn't know her personally.
Your husband said he knew her.
Oh, a neighbor of ours is her sister. He knew her socially.
You know something? I think you knew where your husband was all the time. You just wanted to get me involved, tangled up with him, so that I'd feel a sense of responsibility to look after him. Or am I crazy?
All this is nonsense.
I'd rather be a heel.
I don't understand.
If I hadn't been a nice guy to another drunk, to Terry Lennox, he would still be alive.
How can you be so sure? Good night, Mr. Marlowe. And thank you for almost everything.
One gimlet. You on your own tonight?
Yeah.
Taste that. Good?
It's good.
I heard you and your friend talking one night, so I got me a bottle of that Rose's lime juice to make him like he wanted him. But you never came back.
My friend left town. But thanks for taking the trouble.
No trouble. I just made one for the lady here.
Good evening.
Was your friend English?
Why?
Lime juice. That's how they got called, limeys.
Oh. No, I guess maybe he was there during the war. We used to come here once in a while.
I may have known him. What was his name?
Lennox.
Yes, I knew Terry very well. Perhaps too well.
My name is Philip Marlowe.
Mine is Linda Loring. So you're the man. Marlowe. A bit of a sentimentalist, Mr. Marlowe.
How about yourself?
I knew him. As I said, I knew him too well. Too well to think it mattered to him very much what happened to him. But he didn't have to kill her.
I wouldn't be here drinking a gimlet if I believed that.
He left a confession.
I haven't seen it. Could you by any chance be related to the Potter family, Mrs. Loring?
Sylvia Lennox was my sister. I thought you would know.
Oh, with a hush, your old man. Excuse me, Mr. Harlan Potter put on this case. I'd be lucky to know she had a sister.
My father's hardly that powerful and certainly not that ruthless.
Isn't he?
No. Father liked Terry. He said he was a gentleman 24 hours a day. Not just for the 15 minutes between the time the guests arrive and the time they feel their first cocktail. If Terry had asked him for help, I think he would have given it. But once Terry was dead, what did it matter?
What are you trying to sell me? That Harlan Potter maybe had doubts and didn't lift a finger to find out? That he wouldn't dream of using his influence on the DA to drop the blanket on a murder investigation? His lawyer, not a cop, went down to Mexico to make sure Terry had put a slug in his head after he confessed. I'm told your old man is worth $100 million. For that, lady, you do business with some funny people.
Let me give you a very simple word of warning, Mr. Marlowe. If you go around saying my father is that kind of man, your career is apt to be very short.
I get it from cops, I get it from the hoods, and now I get it from the carriage trade. Oh, you rich people are really something. You think you can say anything you choose, it's all right. But if I hand you back a little change, that's liable to end me up in the boneyard. Goodbye, Mrs. Loring.
This is for you, Marlowe. I'm on the wagon, and I hate it. And I'm going to hate the party we're having tonight. Every damn person there will be saying, "Where's Roger Wade? He's an alcoholic. He's crazy. He's on the wagon." How long will that last? Let's see what happens. Here.
Thanks.
I want to thank you for bringing me home that night. I'm glad you came out to the house so I could do it properly.
How's the work going?
Fine. Except that I get tired too quick. I was always a hard man with a bottle, but when you're pushing 50, you don't snap back the same way.
How long will it last?
What do you think I'm running away from, Marlowe?
No idea.
Look, how about you coming to live here for a while? You could do me a lot of good just being here.
I don't see how.
Would $1,000 a month interest you? Well, would it? I'm dangerous when I'm drunk. I don't want to be dangerous, and I don't want to be drunk.
I couldn't stop you.
3 months. 3 months, and I'll finish the book. I'm asking you, as a friend, I do things when I'm drunk, and I don't remember them. 3 months, $3,000. You did more than that for Lennox.
I got him killed.
Now, don't go soft on me, Marlowe. There's something I want to know, and I have to know.
About whom?
I think it's about me. Now, let's join the party. Let's have a drink.
In the end, he handled himself pretty well. Didn't get too drunk and went to bed right after the people left. I left, too. And nothing happened for a week, except that I went about my business, which just then didn't happen to be very much business. Then, late one night, Wade called, his voice thick. He asked me to come over. Then there was a crash and silence. I found Eileen Wade standing calmly in the doorway. It was an unnatural calm. She had called a doctor. He turned out to be Linda Loring's husband, Dr. Loring.
A superficial cut and bruises. No chance of concussion. His breath indicates his condition rather obviously.
He tipped his chair too far back and fell over.
I'll keep him warm. You might bathe his head and get rid of the blood.
Yes.
He'll sleep it out. I'm more concerned about you, Mrs. Wade.
I'm all right.
And I wish you good night.
A doctor?
What is it?
I can't get him upstairs alone.
Then leave him where he is. I came as Mrs. Wade's doctor. I do not treat alcoholics. And even if I did, he would not be one of my patients. The houseboy can help.
It's his night off. Nobody's asking you to treat him. Just help to get him to his bedroom.
Marvin, is that it? Well, Mr. Marvin, I'm not interested in what you want or in a man who can't leave other men's wives alone.
It must be a long time since you glanced at that little piece of prose called the Hippocratic Oath.
Get out of my way or I'll call the police. As a respected professional...
You're
man,
a handful of flea dirt. Goodbye.
Marlowe, are you there?
Yeah. You're in bed.
Oh. Did you hit me?
No, but you took a fall while you were telephoning me.
Always available, aren't you, fella? Where's Eileen?
She took some pills, went to bed. She's had it rough. It's 2 a.m.
Did I hit her?
You didn't touch her. Oh. You just wandered outdoors and passed out. Candy, the Mex, helped me get you up here. Now, quit talking. Go to sleep.
Sleep? What would that be?
You want a pill?
Yeah, there's some of my wife's in the drawer.
Are all of these hers? This is like a drugstore. Here's some second law. All prescriptions by nice Dr. Loring. He made a crack tonight about other men's wives.
He makes that crack every time he comes here. Probably in every house he visits. He's pretty jealous of Linda.
Here, take these. He has reason. She's a hell of a lady.
So's my wife. Stay away from her. There's nothing to share. Nothing. I know. Oh. Hey, wait. Do me a favor, Marlowe. I wrote some crazy stuff I don't want Eileen to see. It's on my typewriter. Tear it up for me.
Sure. Go to sleep.
Have you got a gun?
Yeah, in the desk in my study.
Go to sleep.
Yeah. You ever kill anyone, Marlo?
Yes.
Nasty feeling, isn't it?
Some people like it.
How could they?
Mrs. Wade? Mrs. Wade, are you awake?
Paul? Paul?
Things are okay. He's asleep. I thought I should tell you.
Oh, you've come back.
What?
I always knew you would come back to me, even after 10 years.
Mrs. Wade,
I waited for you. I kept myself for you, Paul.
Oh, Mrs. Wade, Eileen, Okay.
No. Put me on the bed. I waited for you. Now.
What time is it? 6:30. Oh.
You want some coffee, senor?
Candy. Yeah. Oh, quietly.
The boss is okay. Asleep. Why'd you get drunk down here on the couch?
I had to.
Couldn't make it with her. She threw you out?
Oh, I had it your own way.
You want it black?
Yeah.
Here. Then you scram out, huh? We don't want you here.
Who's we?
I take care of your boss.
Oh, I'll bet you do. How much is it worth for not speaking what you know?
Somebody's got to take care of him.
How much on top? Couple of yards.
What's that?
$200.
Maybe you give me 2 yards so I don't tell your boss you come out of her room last night.
Well, I could buy a whole busload of wet backs like you.
I'm no cholo. My name is Juan Garcia de Soto y Sotomayor. And Chilean. I know what goes on here. I look after the boss.
What does go on around here?
Just don't you come around here anymore. I take care of it.
I'm leaving, Greaseball. Thanks for the coffee.
Good morning, Candy.
Oh, Mrs. Wade, good morning. I bring you more coffee. Oh,
thank you. Mr. Marlowe, I thought you'd gone home.
I got drunk, but I'm leaving now.
Oh, you were a wonderful help last night, Mr. Marlowe. I don't know how to thank you.
I seem to remember you made a pretty good try.
I had a curious dream last night. Someone I used to know was in the house. Someone who's been dead for 10 years. He died in the war. Strange, he had the same initials as you. I dreamt he was here. That's why I'm wearing this pendant today. He gave it to me.
Is that some kind of military badge?
Yeah. I do love my husband, Mr. Marlowe. Not as a young girl loves, perhaps, but I do love him. That improbable love only comes once. Oh, I'm being silly. Are you coming back?
I hope not. But let me know how Roger gets on.
There's always another love, isn't there? Another man. Another woman.
Linda Loring?
We are not talking about the same thing.
Just what did you expect of me, Mrs. Wade? What have I got to offer?
You kept faith when it couldn't have been easy.
Not even a fool does that twice. You'd better find Roger the right kind of doctor, and quick.
Because of last night. He'll be up and working by this afternoon.
Like hell he will.
I know him so well.
Maybe you don't want to save him. Maybe you just want to look as if you do.
That is a horrid thing to say.
It was the best I could do at this hour of the morning. There are blondes and blondes. Ordinarily, I'm not a morning drinker, but I was on my second out of the office bottle. I thought maybe I was going crazy. It had taken all my strength to get out of that bedroom. You don't turn down that sort of invitation very often in a lifetime. But was the invite meant for me? Something more than alcohol was the matter with the Wade family. I read the papers Wade had wanted me to destroy. They were full of disgust and drunkenness.
and a few other things that almost made too much sense. Now, it was still my day for beautiful women, because then Linda Loring walked in.
I'll come straight to the point, Marlowe. On that last ride with Terry down to Tijuana, he had plenty of time to talk. Did he give you a list? A list of his wife's lovers?
You told me Terry killed her.
A list that might include some violent and irresponsible man capable of beating her to death? Why are you making yourself so useful to Roger Wade?
His publisher asked me, his wife asked me, he asked me to help him finish his book. You seem to care a lot about him. You carrying a torch for him?
I hate remarks like that. Just tell me what you propose to do next.
Nothing.
What a waste of talent.
So maybe Wade did know your sister Sylvia. He was just one of a rich collection. And Terry gave me no list. Let's leave it there.
I wish we could. Perhaps I'm wrong about you.
Am I wrong about you?
Would you come home with me? I have a guest who would like to meet you.
The old man?
I don't call him that.
Mr. 100 Million Harlan Potter himself. Yeah. Why not?
It will save time if I put my position before you. Though don't smoke, Mr. Marlowe. I'm subject to asthma. I believe you are interfering in my affairs. I propose to stop it.
I don't know enough about your affairs to interfere in them.
I know who you are and how you make your living, if you make one. I know how you became involved with Terry Lennox, that you have doubts about his guilt, and that you have made contact with a man, a writer, Wade. I understand that this refusal of yours to accept the police evidence may have given you some strange notions. Notions, Mr. Marlowe, but no proof.
Well, maybe my notions aren't important, Mr. Potter, but they're all I have. You forgot to mention that you sent a lawyer to try to get me out of jail. And when I get out, a hoodlum named Mendy Menendez gave me a song and dance and warned me to keep my nose clean.
Surely you're not under the impression that I number this Menendez among my acquaintances.
I wouldn't know, Mr. Potter. A man doesn't make your kind of money in any way I can understand. Then your daughter told me I might have a short, unhappy career if I got you mad. Are you mad, Mr. Potter?
When I am, you will not have to ask me.
I think all you wanted was quiet. But just what have I done to disturb you?
You're exactly right in thinking all I want is quiet. I am a family man in an age when that means almost nothing. One of my daughters married a professional prig. The other made a number of foolish marriages. The last to a complacent pauper who allowed her to live a worthless and immoral life until he suddenly lost his self-control and murdered her.
Not the way she was killed. Terry wasn't the kind of man to beat her to death.
She was shot.
What?
With a Mauser automatic. She was beaten after to cover the bullet wound. Remember, he had been in the war and suffered a good deal. The gun was my daughter's. Perhaps Terry didn't mean to kill her. If they had struggled for the gun and she was shot, that would have been an excellent defense. But he ran away. And even that he did clumsily. I could not permit the kind of trial that would result. To be frank, I was very glad when I learned that he had left a confession and killed himself.
I'll bet. But are you convinced he killed her?
Of course he did. And that is why the matter ended there.
Okay. You made your point. What goes from here?
I think you're a pretty honest sort of fellow. Don't be a hero. There's no percentage in it. One of these days, I may be able to throw some business your way. Goodbye, Mr. Marlowe. Thank you for coming.
The black chauffeur drove me back in the custom-built Cadillac. I offered him a buck, but he wouldn't take it. I offered to buy him the poems of T.S. Eliot. He said he already had them. He studied them for his degree. Then I got a call from George Peters of the Karn organization, who had helped me find Dr. V. One of their operatives, a New York man, had been in town and mentioned he had seen a guy who looked just like Terry Lennox, the white hair and the scars, in New York about 6 years back. Only then he called himself Paul. Paul Marston. So I called Sergeant Green at Homicide. Terry had no war record in Washington. They checked. So he wasn't in the U.S. Army.
You'd better read these pages, Wade.
What are they?
You don't remember asking me to tear them up last night?
I don't remember a damn thing since I fell and cut my head. Why didn't you tear them up?
Is your wife here?
She's out shopping.
And Candy?
It's his afternoon off. Did Eileen see these?
No.
Pretty wild, isn't it?
I liked the part about a good man dying for you.
I owe you money. Will $1,000 be enough? I'll get my checkbook in the desk.
Let me get it for you. I don't want your money. I'm looking for a gun. A Mauser.
Mine's a Webley.
It's not here.
I mislaid things.
Sylvia Lennox was shot in the head with a Mauser.
I guess you think I killed her and let Lennox take the rap. But damn it, man, her head was beaten in. You don't do that just because a woman is a tramp.
I'm not accusing you. But the guy who got the credit was a lot less likely than you. And what's eating you is that you're not sure yourself.
Open up the bottle, pour us a couple of drinks.
No.
And I'll get it myself. What are you trying to do to me, huh? You want to tell my wife, the cops? What good will that do?
What good will the booze do?
My memory is all in here.
No, I think your wife should be home. Somebody has to look after you, but I'll be goddamned if it's going to be me.
She'll be home. By then, I'll be passed out, I hope. She can entertain you. You'd like to share her dreams and sniff the rose of her memories. Yeah, maybe I would, too. But there's nothing to share. Nothing. Stick around. When I get lit enough, I'll tell you about all the women I've murdered.
All right, Wade. But I won't watch you. I'll be outside, down by the lake.
Yeah, go watch the blondes. Go watch the water skiers. You're as lonely as me, Marlowe.
You ever hear of a guy called Paul Marston?
No. Never did. You're right. I just don't remember.
In part two of Bill Morrison's dramatization of The Long Goodbye by Raymond Chandler, Ed Bishop was Philip Marlowe and Toby Robbins, Eileen Wade. David March played Roger Wade, Don Fellows, Howard Spencer, Margaret Robertson, Linda Loring, Paul Maxwell, Dr. Loring, and Bob Sherman, Harlan Potter. Chick Agostino was played by Malcolm Gerard, Big Willie Magoon by Bill Morrison, Candy by Anthony Daniels, and the Barman by Brian Hewlett. The director was John Tiedemann.